Hello and welcome to the Collegiate Gentleman Podcast, in association with the Gridiron Gentleman. Joining me tonight is our fearless and peerless leader, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Still got a stinking cold, as you've probably heard on the last pod. So if when it goes quiet, that's because I was coughing. So just want you to know that. A little peek behind the curtain there. A little bit of joy for you. I don't know. I'll shut up. Take over, Josh. You got this.
Yeah, so as Dan mentioned, I'm Josh. I will be talking through and Dan will be bouncing off. Tonight, we'll be going through a few bits of news, some positive, some negative. Big news, like big news being negative. And then we'll also go through the rankings and why I think Notre Dame should be nowhere near the playoff and the committee got it right. But I think we'll start with the news. And I think we'll start with the positive news first.
Sure.
Because I don't know how long the negative news we want to go into and how much detail we want to go into. But on the positive news, well, I guess we'll get kind of a happy negative news and like bad negative news. But the positive news is Matt Campbell to Penn State.
Yeah.
Now, Penn State's coaching search was an absolute freaking disaster. They got rejected by about 12 people, apparently.
Mm.
They needed the crumble cookie guy to come in. BYU did to say stop Kalani Sitake going to Penn State. Big move by BYU keeping on to him. Regardless of what you think, I think it's good for college football when non-powers can have people step up and kind of keep their coach in. I think
I'd imagine there's an element of wanting to finish what they'd started as well.
Yeah. So I think that's a good thing. I feel for Iowa State for similar reasons, but I think Matt Campbell should have had a job at this level before. By all accounts, he turned down the Detroit Lions, he turned down Florida State, he turned down USC. So he's obviously just been waiting for one that's a fit for him, and he obviously thinks Penn State is that. I was obviously Lane Kiffin to LSU, as an LSU fan, but my second choice was Matt Campbell. Now, that was never going to happen. He wasn't going to LSU. But I think what Matt Campbell's done is frankly ridiculous. He's been there 10 years now, and he's got as many bowl wins as every other head coach in their history combined.
That's like, insane.
I don't think people appreciate just how bad Iowa State was as a program before he got there. So like winning college football isn't the NFL. Like winning 8 games at Texas is you're getting fired. Winning 8 games at Iowa State, they're building a statue for you. Like it just is the way it is. Give him some resources at Penn State and I think he could do well. The problem they've got is they waited that long to do it. Drought, do you know how many players they signed in the recruiting class this year?
How many?
2.
What?
2.
That's insane.
The signing happened when they had no head coach. You're not signing up to go to play for a school that doesn't have a head coach.
And that has had multiple head coach, multiple potentials turn the job.
Yeah, turn them down.
Fair point, yeah.
Like, so your roster size is about 85 in college.
Yeah.
Usually it's a 4-year turnover, but people leave and whatnot. You usually average between 23 and 27 recruits a year.
Yeah.
And they've signed 2.
It's insane.
Which is going to, and the big problem is they're going to be bad next year.
Yeah.
Because they targeted this year as their year. So they've got a lot of seniors and kind of veteran players that are going to the NFL are just retiring out, aging out.
Yeah.
They're then going to be bad the year after because that is the year you need this recruiting class to start performing. They've got nobody there. And Matt Campbell's not a transfer window guy. He's a recruit and develop. So if he's got nobody to develop, it's going to be 3 years before they're ready to compete.
Do we think that maybe he might be forced into being a transfer window guy?
Maybe. There's rumours that he's taking Rocco Becht.
Hmm.
Who was his quarterback at Iowa State, obviously.
Makes sense.
But I think long term, I think they'll be fine, but that'll be interesting. Because I don't think the transfer portal is something that's easy to do. I think it's a certain type of recruiting in the transfer portal that he's never really done before. So we'll see. But I think it's a home run hire. I think it's a great hire.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree. But he's in a difficult situation where it might not be best to judge him on his record next year.
No, not even slightly.
No. Which is crazy.
Other kind of sad but positive news is Kyle Whittingham retiring.
Yep.
After 31 years as a coach at Utah.
Yep.
And 21 of those as head coach. He retires as the Utah Utes' highest ever winning coach, most winning coach of all time.
Yep.
Took them into the big into Power Four. They weren't a Power Four conference at the time. Took them in and competed at the competed in the Pac 10/12 with teams that far outweighed them monetarily. But he dominated USC for years at a time.
Yep.
And again, another head coach that I think is severely underrated in the national radar, but a great head coach. And as you were telling me before, because this happened like an hour ago, maybe.
Yeah.
It all got announced. Not that long.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah. They've basically promoted from within. So they promoted the DC, Scaly. Is it Scaly you pronounce
it? Scaly.
The defense is always good. Again, he played there. He's from Utah.
Yep.
He's been there since 2010 or something like that.
I think 2004. I don't know. Yeah.
He's been there in some sort of capacity. So the only thing that would concern me with that sort of hire is, did you just try and copy Whittingham? Is he not learning from anybody else? And copying doesn't always work, but I think it's worth the fire. They've probably developed him to be the head coach. So
yeah.
I trust Kyle Whittingham's opinion on it more than mine.
I do too, but I kind of agree. So Kyle Whittingham came in and took over from Urban Myers, who was a very different coach from what Kyle Whittingham is. And you would hope that maybe a younger coach might have a difference of opinion, but this is a guy that was brought up pretty much from the get-go, from as a player to a coach now by Kyle Whittingham. And so you'd imagine he just kind of learned that. Now, that being said, Utah have been very successful in the last couple of years, the last few years. And this year were a couple of damp squib games, really, really to find what their season actually was this year. And you would hope that with, I'm just looking at it now, Whittingham's going to be involved with the team for the next couple of years. He's going to be a special assistant to athletic director Mark Arlen and get paid $3.45 million.
It's the big advantage of staying at one place for a while. They don't want you gone. You just end up getting a job for life doing absolutely hee-haw.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's a lovely wee position to be in.
The ultimate golden handshake, that, isn't it? $3.45 million. So, you know, just to hang around and make sure that everything, that the wheels don't fall off too much. Yeah.
Because Bruce Pearl did that for Auburn basketball. He retired.
Yeah.
His son got the head coaching job, and now Bruce Pearl's just sitting in, he's got his own office there, and he's getting paid a couple of mil a year to just oversee his son doing the job. I'm like, not bad, eh?
Sounds amazing. That is kind of the dream, isn't it? But yeah. I you wonder what the ceiling is for a team like Utah. Like, they are kind of there or thereabouts every year. And it feels like Kyle Whittingham's kind of maxed them out to that pretty much every year. Highlight being a 13-0 season where they then went to the Sugar Bowl to beat Alabama, to stomp Alabama. That's got it. We've got it written down here, which is a hell of a game as well. So you would hope that, I mean, really, as long as they beat BYU, I think people in the area are kind of happy, but they haven't done that in the last couple of years. So
BYU are very good just now is the problem.
Yeah, and retained their head coach, as we've just discussed. So,
next year, their schedule, they're out of conference, is Idaho, Utah State, and Arkansas. They're getting Arkansas at home. That's quite a good game, actually.
That is quite a good game.
Quite early, September 12th as well, one of the earlier ones. Then they've got in-conference games, dates haven't been announced yet for the Big 12. It's BYU, Houston, Kansas, West Virginia, away Arizona, Cincinnati, Colorado, Iowa State, TCU. So they avoid Texas Tech next year, which is good.
Yep.
Problem with that is I don't know what Texas Tech will be like next year because they bought a lot this year. I don't know whether they'll do that again or not, or whether it's a one-year-only thing. They're not going to be short of money with the oil money they've got in that area of Texas, but
no. I'd say that the Utah State game as well is apparently like a rivalry not quite up there with the Holy War, but it is something that is
considered state, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's quite a good schedule. Actually, I quite like that for them. But like I said, I'll remain open. I think I trust Kyle Whittingham more. I like my head coaches to have learned from multiple different people and bring a wee bit of that works for me, that works for me, that works for me.
The McVay system in the NFL. He brings in people specifically that don't run systems like he does.
Yeah.
So that he can learn how to do those things.
Yeah. And learn how to play against them as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Not just learn how to do it, but it's then, oh, that's why you do that and that's the purpose of that concept. And yeah.
I promise I'm not going to swoon over Sean McVay for too much longer, but you know.
I think what will be important is how he stacks the rest of these coaching staff. Because I imagine there'll be a few that move on. There'll be a few that have been there with Kyle Whittingham for a while. And I think it'll be important for him to bring in guys that are from a different kind of tree.
But yeah.
Like I said, we'll learn that over the next couple of days, I imagine, what his coaching staff's going to be like.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
There wasn't... Oh, the last piece of news before we get into the big one is the SEC schedule got released.
Mm.
Holy crap. They went to 9 conference games next year.
Okay.
And there's only one bye.
Yep.
The LSU schedule is brutal.
Oh, really?
So in a 4-week span, they play at Auburn. No, in a 5-week span, they play at Auburn, home to Alabama, home to Texas, at Tennessee.
That's insane, but fun.
Yeah.
So as LSU a non-fan of LSU...
It'll be fun to watch those games. They also, have you seen where the Open Conference play next year?
No.
Where would you think? What would they do? If you're if you're describing the conference, where would you have LSU Open next year?
Not. I mean, I could hazard a guess. Is it what I think it is?
The Open Conference play in Oxford at Ole Miss.
Oh my God, that's insane.
So they've got... two out of conference games to start. So they start with Clemson at home and then one of the in-state games. I think it's, I can't remember if it's LA Tech or ULM or whatever, one of the in-state buffer games they get. And then the open conference play in Oxford against Ole Miss.
That is a massive troll job right there.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
And their second last game, because LSU are back to having the battle for the boots of the Arkansas game finish their season.
Yeah.
So their last home game, road game that's open is at Tennessee, which is Lane Kiffin's other old team as well. So it's not a fun schedule next year for LSU.
Just a tour. Yeah.
It's fun, but not great if you're looking to stack up wins. But the problem, we'll come back to that, actually, the problem with the schedule. Because the big one is obviously Sherrone Moore has been fired with cause from Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, this happened yesterday, I think. Might have been the day before. I think it was yesterday. I think it was overnight the day before, but we woke up to it yesterday, basically. And so there's still a lot of stuff coming through. But in essence, it seems he's had an inappropriate relationship with a staffer. He's married with 3 kids, and it's in his contract that you can't do that, basically.
Mm-hmm.
He, since then, has... been arrested for threatening and abusive and stalking behaviour against said female.
Yeah.
As well as after it got announced that publicly he turned up at said female's house threatening to commit suicide with a knife up against his neck. From what we can gather, again, it's going to come out over the next few weeks, Michigan have known about this for a few weeks, but there's been an ongoing investigation.
Doesn't happen in college football where they just try and hide things, does it?
That the rumor is they were actually hoping they'd lose more games, so they could just fire them, pay them off, basically, and keep it under wraps. But because he went 9-3, you couldn't publicly say you're getting fired with a freshman quarterback. Going 9-3, it just doesn't. It open up too many questions as to why they were firing them.
Yeah.
So when they won the games out, they realised it basically had to become public. What I don't like about it from Michigan's end is they waited to the day after signing day.
Mm-hmm.
So all these kids have signed to go to Michigan now, and this has all happened. A few of them have already emailed, I guess, with how you would do it, the NCAA,
yep.
Try to get released for their contract, basically.
What a dick move.
Yeah. So it's just a horrible situation all round. The female in question is apparently, again, I don't know how true this is, but the daughter of a scout at the Bears.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Again, it's all coming out. I also don't want to go into it too much in that sense because you're seeing pictures of her Instagram and things, but I've also seen a situation where this happens and it's a totally different person.
Mm.
It's not even relevant. I've also seen a lot of people attacking her for like being a homewrecker. I'm like, he's married. That's on him, not her.
Yep.
Like, no, he's the homewrecker. She's did what she did, but she's not beholden to anybody.
From what I understand as well, they are kind of preaching some kind of privacy as well.
The fam, like the...
Yeah, with her, she is, sorry.
Yeah.
Because she seems to have been through the ringer a fair amount as well, yeah. So...
In essence, she's just been the other woman, which happens all over the world.
Yep.
All the time, constantly, just not in the public eye like this, and not to the person. Now, yep. They're now claiming... I've been quite disgusted by some of the stuff Adam Schefter's put out. I don't know if you've been following it.
I have not, no.
I don't want to misquote it, so I'm going to get it up just now.
Yeah.
How far back did he go? Jesus, he tweets a lot, didn't he?
Yep. He does tweet a lot, yeah.
Right, I can't even find it. But I'll reconfirm it after. But effectively, he was saying that we still need to wait on Shromore's side of the story to come out. He deserves to have his side said and things like that. And I was like, well, he's already been arrested, so I don't really know what that side would be.
Yeah.
He was also saying, it's also looking like the Shromore side blaming it on mental health, and that he was fired without a representative there. And Michigan knew he was suffering from mental health.
Yeah.
Two things on that. Maybe, but I can't imagine anyone ever gets fired and doesn't. Michigan's too smart a place to have not offered them someone. You always got offered. I've been involved in firings,
yeah,
at big companies. Like, you always got offered. You can go in with somebody. Like, they can't force you to do it. So, yeah, it's just a bit of a horrible situation all around. But the fact that, again, apparently agents have known this was coming for a couple of weeks now, at least, which from the kind of moving on point of view, because I don't really know what else you can say on it other than that. Apparently, the agents have known this job is coming open basically for a few weeks, and it looks like it's going to... they're already filling all on the coaching search than you would think. But I just feel for the kids that have signed up to go there. A lot of them signed up to go there because of him,
yep.
Because of the front he's put on. Now he's gone and they're stuck signed there at least for a year because you can't transfer until a year, basically. I hope the NCAA open it up, basically, and let people leave.
I would hope so as well. And I hope Michigan get pulled through the ringer for this as well, because it is a crappy way of dealing with the situation that they've known about for several weeks already. So I don't know... I don't know whether Schefter's right, whether his side of the story needs to be told, but it's pretty self-explanatory to me that he's very much in the wrong in this one. And for me, so far, it just seems to be that due course and process is kind of actually playing its part.
So I found the exact wording of what he said.
Mm.
What we haven't heard yet is Sharon Moore's side of this. And he gets his say in this particular situation as well.
Yeah.
Which up to then I'm fine with. It's the next bit.
Okay.
I do know he felt like people had it in for him for an awful long time. Like, Even if, like, yeah, I don't know.
Even if, like, you had 100% evidence, even if he's phoned you up and said, you know what, Michigan, they've got it in for me. Now's not the time, Adam.
No.
Now is not the time.
No.
Leave that. I leave that alone. Yeah, you're right. That's fucking horrendous.
Because the best case here for the Sharon Moore side, right, the best case is he's cheated on his missus repeatedly with a staffer who is against the rules anyway, so he's fired because.
Yeah.
Yes, you can say maybe the rest of the stuff's been blown out. Maybe. I doubt it based on what we've seen. But again, not close enough, so I wouldn't say 100%.
Yep.
But best case, he's been fired because, and I'm sorry, Michigan's one of like the few programs that take football seriously. With they're actually an elite university as well. They've got like the University of Michigan, they've got the law school, etc. Like, they're not firing somebody and not having the T's crossed and the dots eyed. I don't think this is going to be one of those where we come back and go, I'm sorry, Sharon Moore, you were right all along.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I'd be very surprised. But yeah. It's
now.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've got anything else to say on it. I think that's pretty much all I've really got. I think we'll
it seems to be that more is coming out every day.
Yeah.
From what I've seen. So it's like we can only say what we've seen so far. Pretty shocking to see him at his arraignment. Like yeah. It's all out there if people want to go and find it. The one thing I would say is keep an open mind. Give the poor lady her privacy as well.
Yeah.
Like, whatever happened there, she still deserves privacy and she doesn't deserve to be berated for a situation that went out of control very quickly by the sounds of things.
Yeah. The only other thing is, and this is less about the everything after it, but it's the kind of laissez-fairness he's had with it.
Mm.
The first year he was head coach, he gave her a 50% pay rise.
It's not good. Yeah.
It's not, he's not been hiding it. He's not, the fair side of everything else after that is a totally different matter.
Yeah. But
the fair side alone is enough to get you fired when you've signed a kind of morality clause and things like that in your contract.
Yeah.
Because you're representing a university, you're representing a program. Like, but yeah. I think we'll leave it like that and get on to talking about the football now.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So, last week we had Selection Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of palaver over the 12 teams that have been picked. Now, to go back, I was totally against expanding the playoffs. I think that what you tend to find is the more people watch college football, the less they want expansion.
Yeah.
Because the playoffs are effectively, it's trying to professionalise it, and that makes it look, oh, the NFL's got a playoff, we should have a playoff. It's a totally different sport. College football has always been about the regular season.
Yeah.
They didn't actually even have a national championship game until 1999. They effectively just had a bunch of people say, we think they're the best team in the country. Yeah. Everybody was quite happy just playing their game and playing the games every week. So that's what it was all about. And the reason for expansion given was twofold. One, it's exciting to watch the games, and I'm not a hypocrite. I admit that. Yes, I didn't want expansion, but I will 100% watch Alabama play Oklahoma in the playoffs. I'm like, it's going to be a good game, like either way. So there was that argument. And the other argument, which is the main one, I think, realistically, is you want to give a team that can win a title a chance to win a title.
Yeah.
Which, in theory, makes sense when you're talking about professional sports. But you could put the current, who do you think is the best team in the NFL? Rams.
Yeah.
You could put the Rams in college football just now, right? Give them GMU schedule. I could look at them and know they're the best team, but also admit they don't deserve to be in the playoff. They've not hit a standard of opponent that justifies being in the playoffs. That's always been my argument.
Yeah.
But what people said is, if you make it bigger, everyone who theoretically deserves a shot will get in, then there's no arguing.
Yeah.
But it's completely missing the point that as soon as you increase the playoffs, everyone deems then the standard to be a playoff team to be the top 12. Therefore, the argument over 10 to 14 just becomes what you were arguing before between 3 and 6.
Yeah.
It's just with much lower quality teams. So this year, I think there is 7 teams, in my opinion, that have genuinely earned a shot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Indiana.
Yeah, Ohio State, obviously. Yep.
Georgia.
Yep.
Texas Tech.
Yep.
Oregon.
Yep.
Ole Miss. Texas A&M.
Yes.
And even then, I could argue against Texas A&M, and I could even argue against Oregon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, because like, I think one loss, you can have a bad game. But in theory, Oregon lost at home by double digits. I could argue against that. I'm not going to, because I think one loss, you can have a bad game.
I have been paying partial attention to the college season this year. And I would say each of those names are the ones that I know are good teams.
Yep.
This year, yes, absolutely.
Anyone after that, I think, should just be happy if they get in.
Yep.
I'm sorry. And so the big one that's caused a lot of faff is Notre Dame, Miami, mm-hmm. Alabama.
Yep.
Now, there's arguments for each of them. I think the one, if you're picking 2 of the 3, because that's what it is, you're picking 2 of 3. One of the three has to be Miami.
Yeah.
Because either if Notre Dame go in, Miami have to go in because Miami beat them.
Yeah.
And if Notre Dame don't go in, well, then Miami automatically becomes one of the other 2.
Yeah.
So the argument for me has been Alabama and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Now, the argument for Notre Dame revolves around dominance. They've just looked better.
Yeah.
They've been
in the latter half of the season.
Pretty much from week 3, really. Yeah. They lost their first 2 games. And even then, they lost 2 very close games to 2 teams that are now in the playoffs.
Yeah,
right?
Fair enough.
So
yeah.
I could argue that. That's fine. But the argument for that is, the problem is, do you know what their strength of schedule is? Based on kind of power index. 55th.
Wow.
Alabama's is 14th.
Which makes sense.
Within the SEC. Now, there's 2 arguments to that as well. But the main point is, at the end of week 12, not week 12, week 14, kind of buys, but after everyone had played 12 games, the end of the regular season, Alabama were ahead of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
In my opinion, you cannot then punish Alabama for losing an SEC championship game to your now number 3 team in the country.
Yeah.
When Notre Dame were sitting on the backside at home.
Yep.
If you want these conference championship games to mean anything and teams to want to play in them, you can't knock them out of the playoffs for losing it.
Yeah.
And I've had this argument with someone else that they've lost a game, it needs to count. I was like, yes, but the equivalent is, imagine the Premier League football, soccer football. And instead of the end of the season, the team with the highest points wins the league. What you actually get is a final.
Yeah.
So this year, Arsenal finished top of the league and Man City finished 2nd.
Yeah.
Right? Man City beat Arsenal.
Yeah.
Right? So Arsenal are out. Yeah. Imagine this scenario. Europe for next year goes to 3rd place and not Arsenal.
I think that's a really good idea.
As a Villa fan, I can see that. But how ridiculous that would be.
Yeah.
You've earned the right to play in the final. And then the playoff is a separate entity because it's not the SEC. It's all the different conferences coming together.
Yeah.
So because you've earned the right to win your league, you're then getting punished for a separate competition by someone else. And what would also happen is, in the league table of the SEC, Alabama actually finished 1st. Because while they had 2 losses, you only count SEC play. So they only had 1 loss in conference. So what you're saying is they finished 1st in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Because they finished 1st, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, who were all sitting at home because they didn't finish 1st, go to the playoff. You couldn't have done that.
No.
And the one thing I do feel for Notre Dame, everyone always talks about Notre Dame's schedule, right? And the problem they've got is a bunch of teams they schedule were terrible this year.
Yeah.
And it's not that they schedule bad teams, it's that a bunch of them were just bad. Because you need to schedule your out-of-conference, and all of Notre Dame's is obviously out-of-conference. But you need to schedule your out-of-conference like 5 years in advance, which is stupid in and of itself, but that's where we are. 5 years ago, you could have argued Stanford were going to be good. It wasn't that long ago Stanford were winning 10 games a year. USC just weren't as good as you'd hope. Arkansas are an SEC team. Like, in Arkansas won 9 games in the SEC like 3 years ago. Like, the problem is the big issue the committee had is they were so late to allow head-to-head to matter.
Yeah.
And I get Notre Dame fans' frustration with that. I do. They were ahead of Miami the whole season.
Yeah.
Neither team lost, or both teams won dominantly thereon, and then Miami moved above them. But for me, Miami should have been above them the whole time.
Yeah.
So I hate how the committee done it. I think it was wrong. But I think they got the right 12. And that's all that really matters.
And that's better than we talk about this most seasons.
Yes, they got the right 12. And see, to be honest, in my opinion, other than the top 7, I wouldn't care who makes it. I don't think anyone else deserves to make it anyway. Yeah. You'd be happy and move on.
Yeah.
The big issue as well is the ACC was a disaster this year.
Yeah.
Duke winning it with 5 losses or whatever has meant that 2 group of 5 teams get in.
Yeah.
And neither of these are the Cincinnati team of 4 years ago.
No, fair.
So, do you know what the point spread is in those games?
No.
19-23.
Oh my God.
Playoff games.
Yeah.
Because we need to give automatic bids to champions.
That's insane.
19-23. And I'm all for the group of five having a shot. But
yeah,
just if they're in the top 12, let them go. If they're not, they don't deserve to be in anyway.
100%.
It's not like, that complicated.
Yeah. We live in a world with EPA and DVOA and all kinds of like metrics and strength of schedule and all kinds of metrics that let you go, okay, so you could probably sit down and work out who the best 12, statistically, who the best 12 college teams are.
And that's the one. Notre Dame are talking about how they are the better team.
Yeah,
I 100% think they would beat Alabama tomorrow if they played them.
Mm.
They've not proven it on the field.
Yeah.
And the big argument for expanding the playoff as well, actually, was you need to give everyone a shot.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, but this isn't going to give the little guy a Cinderella story. What's going to happen is you're going to allow a power team to fuck about throughout the season, lose games, sneak in the back door, and then win it all. And that's what happened last year. Ohio State lost 2 regular season games, snuck in the back door, and went a hot and got won the whole thing.
Yep. The alternative would be is you guarantee positions within each division every year. So you say...
So the SEC gets 3.
Yeah. It's never going to happen. And it should happen.
No, I just think, to me, there's never a year where I think there's genuinely 8 teams.
Yeah.
I'd cap it at 8.
Yeah.
And just go the 8 best and find a way of dealing with not the best teams, the best schedules. The problem you've got now is they're rewarding solely wins and losses.
Yeah.
Which basically means that Alabama have already cancelled games over the next few years, out of conference games.
Yeah.
But why would to be fair to Texas, why would you schedule Ohio State?
Yeah.
If the committee aren't properly assigning strength of schedule, then why make your schedule harder?
Yeah.
It makes, whereas we want harder out of conference games, and that is the problem. When you had it at 4 teams, you had to make your schedule really tough because you had to stand out from other teams.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in the SEC or Big Ten and you go 11-1, you are in.
Yeah.
So why have hard? Doesn't matter who you played, you are in. So why have hard out of conference games? It makes no sense.
You want to be peacocking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to do it the Patriots and the Broncos did this year?
Yeah.
Now, even more so because college discrepancy is much bigger. But do you know who, and I don't think it's not dangerous, I think actually got screwed.
Go on then.
BYU.
I think it's as well, yeah.
If there was any team that's actually an outside looking in, because they were 11-1.
Yeah.
With a harder strength of schedule than Alabama.
Yeah.
They played and beat more top 25 teams than Alabama, Notre Dame, Miami, all of these teams. They had less losses.
Yeah.
And they weren't in without winning it.
Yeah.
And I think the issue is that they should have been in it and then not punished for losing it.
Well, they got punished once again for the reason that we're saying they shouldn't have been punished, for a championship game as well.
Yeah, no, they moved down, but they wouldn't have been in anyway.
Oh, really? Oh,
they were top 12.
Yeah.
But because GMU and Tulane were so far back, you actually had to be top 10 this year to get in, because two conference champions weren't top 12.
That's insane.
So BYU wouldn't have, they would have been in with a win, but as at the end of the regular season, they wouldn't have been in even though they were top 12. But I think BYU are the one that I think would be, now, not that you're bothered by that a bit.
No,
but
not at all. But it's, I do, I don't feel for them, but like it is, I agree, there should have been the team that were in. And they might, a lot of this should be on entertainment value, right? Like, I think BYU could have gone in and caused a few bloody noses as well.
Yeah, the problem you've got is, like, the two teams that got a cause of this, and that's this bit is not on the committee, GMU and Tulane had to be in.
Yeah.
It was them two, it was two out of three with them two and Duke.
Yeah.
Because they've said that you need five conference champions, and, like, they, that's not on the committee, the fact those two got in. That's just on a stupid system. But here's hoping we see some surprises, because I'll be honest, I was wrong on a few of the conference championship games.
Yeah.
I did not see Indiana beating Ohio State.
No. Some said they used all of the good vibes up in that game, and as a result, the Bears didn't beat the Packers, but
State is rolling.
But yeah, no, that was a nice surprise. Like, hell of a game as well.
Lovely, the lovely game. What is interesting now, what I didn't like is, I feel like Georgia should have moved above Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you should be punished for losing a conference championship game. But I don't think Ohio State would have been punished there. I think you're rewarding Georgia for winning those. I think that's different. If Oregon had been third, for example, I don't think they should move above Ohio State.
Yeah.
Because they were sitting at home. But Georgia won the SEC, so I think they should have been rewarded for that. And Ohio State doesn't get punished. They just kind of fall by other teams moving up, in the same way that Indiana moved above them for winning. But
how do you think Indiana's going to do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel it's a bit Oregon from last year.
Yeah.
And it's a bit LSU from 2011, if you remember that year. 2011 was the year LSU played Alabama when they were 1-2 in the country.
Yeah.
And it was deemed game of the century and all that. LSU went into Tuscaloosa and into Alabama and beat them 9-6.
Yeah.
And then the national championship game came down, that is going to be LSU Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State lost in the last day of the season. Alabama moved up to second.
Yeah.
And LSU didn't have a single snap on the Alabama side of the field.
Because
they used everything to beat them in the regular season. They just didn't have it in the championship game. And I think that's what happened to Oregon last year. They beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
In the regular season, ended up winning the Big Ten, and then got blew out in the call. And I fear that could happen. I hope not, because I think that if there's one team I want to win it, it's probably Indiana.
Yeah, same.
The one team I need to get knocked out early is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
This is not to that. It's the fact that everybody but Lanes went back and coached them.
Yeah.
So the OC and all that are away back. Ole Miss, so I'm like, no, get back, get on the recruiting trail, sign it, transfer portal soon, get on the road. I'm hoping they're putting in a wee word to Trinidad Chambliss and that. Come to Baton Rouge, sit and recruiting them while you're coaching them. But no, I think we'll do the actual game breakdown. I think the first playoff game's next week, so we'll do the game breakdown next week.
Sounds good.
Might record a bit earlier next week so we can have it out for a couple of days before the game.
Yeah.
The first round actually looks quite good. I said there's two good games and two crap games, basically, which I think is always going to be the case now. But it's also bowl season. But
yeah.
That was one thing I never mentioned. Notre Dame bailing out the bowl completely.
Yeah.
Which I don't like, but I think bowl season is now dead.
It feels like you can't really do both, doesn't it?
You can't have the playoff and the ball. The ball was meant to be the reward at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And the problem you've got now is it's meant to be a reward for having a decent season. You've got teams at 5-7 getting in.
Yeah.
Because there's not added that many bowls. It used to be there was like the New Year six, the big six, and another six or seven really good quality bowl games. They've got like 30-40 now.
Yeah.
It was just, it became a money grab, and the problem is it'll get to the point where there's games that nobody's watching where they're actually costing you money to run it because there's no advertisement because nobody's watching them.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll break down the games next week and we'll go from there, I think.
Sounds good, yeah.
Were you anything going to say something else? Sorry.
No, no, anything else you want to talk about this week?
I don't think so. I think that's everything at my end.
Hmm.
But yeah. Oklahoma, Alabama will be a good game, and Texas A&M, Miami will be a good game.
Oh, right, absolutely, yeah, that one will be good.
Then the problem is Ole Miss Tulane we've already seen.
Yeah,
Ole Miss beat them by 35 in the regular season.
I can't see that being any different either.
Unless Lane's way more. If it doesn't, then Lane looks a great hire.
Yeah,
that's all it takes. They've done that round.
Yeah, yeah.
Then I agree. Oregon, James Madison will be a blowout as well.
Yeah.
But on that note.
Yep.
We'll end it there. We'll be back next week. I think James should be back next week by the sounds of it.
Sounds of things, definitely. What's the plan when the college games finish then? Just out of interest. Or is there anything like, I don't know why I'm doing this on the pod, but I figure.
No, that's all right. People are interested.
Yeah.
We'll probably do a bit on the transfer portal when it kicks off. Nothing major, but just any major movements, which I think there actually will be this year just because of the amount of coaches at big programs that moved.
Yeah.
They might want to bring their own guys in.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking we just transfer into almost like the draft process.
Sounds good.
Already got a head start on a few things with it, being that I've been in draft mode for 8 weeks already.
I've refreshingly not been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. I'm not used to this.
You'll be picking in the 20s.
At this rate, yeah. I think the lowest we can pick now is like number 9, I think. It might even be higher than that now.
Mm.
9 wins. Probably higher than that now, yeah.
I think the highest we can pick is 9.
It's crazy. You're screwing yourself out of a number 1 pick, though.
Yeah, no.
But so are the Titans, though. So, you know.
I've seen too many players can't miss now. Like, Trevor was can't miss. Another thing is, as well, the year we took Darnold, everyone was all tank for Darnold.
Yeah.
And then it got to the end and we were picking 6 and we traded up to 3. And it was like, right, we're at 3, who can we get? Darnold will go 1 to the Browns.
Yeah.
And that was, everyone knew he was going 1 to the Browns.
Yeah.
Until the morning of the draft, the rumours started coming out. They were going for Baker.
Yeah.
But I would remember talking about it. Oh, do we go Rosen? Do we go Allen? Do we go Lamar? And it was just assumed that Darnold would be gone.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't. So you also never really know what's going to happen.
Draft season's like one of my favourite parts of the NFL calendar, just in general. So
for the past like 10 years, it's been my only nice part of the NFL calendar.
Sounds familiar.
Draft season's been best season.
Yeah. Yeah. We're off-season champions like 3 times in a row. Yeah. We got the 3-peat.
Who needs a Super Bowl?
Was that sorry?
Who needs the Lombardi?
Exactly, yeah. We win the off season. A couple of good preseason games where everything looks good. We're fine.
The main thing, draft an undrafted quarterback, it just looks like an absolute baller in the 4th preseason game. Here we go.
I forgot what I was gonna say. It's completely gone. Yeah, well, you tanked for Darnold and then Darnold tanked for another team, so you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. Like, so I think that's the way to go. And we're kind of like hashing this out live on the podcast. Mm-hmm. But I think if this becomes like the main draft hub, and then we kind of, the other pods can maybe like move towards other things as well. But we'll see how it goes.
Top 10s. Maybe actually get through the top 10s with enough time if you don't have to do the draft pod on it. You can do the draft pod on this one and keep the top 10s going separately.
I love it. I love it. We'll discuss it anyway, I'm sure. But yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So usual socials, yeah.
Usual socials, main one, Discord.
Discord, come join the Discord.
I've actually got the Twitter now, so I can actually talk about the college games when they're on.
I would love that, and I would love other people to start doing the tweeting as well, so that makes me really happy. So yeah, you guys are way better than me, so but yeah.
I just like GIFs. There's still a lot of GIFs.
No, same. I love a GIF. A GIF. I love a GIF. Like,
who needs to comment when you can just throw a GIF in?
Yeah.
A picture says 1,000 words. A GIF must say 1,000,000.
Yeah. I can't remember who it was. One of the other college, UK college guys, used to love Schitt's Creek gifts.
Nah, yeah.
Yeah. That's the way forward.
What's his name? One. Dan Levy's boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know Dan Levy's in it. But.
Yeah. Oh God, his name's David in the show. But yeah. Anyway.
Right, that's way off the beat. Yeah. No, his name is Dan.
Yeah.
What's the dad's name then?
Eugene.
Eugene, yes. Yeah. Dan is the boy. Eugene's the dad. Yeah. Yes. Jesus, that's way off the beaten path.
We're going off a tangent. Like this is a strange tangent even for us, Josh.
Yeah, we need somebody sensible to rein us back in.
Nah, it's not happening. So I'd say watch Schitt's Creek, since you got a bit of time before the college bowl games and the playoff games. So got a bit of time to watch that. It's only 20-minute episodes. So and in entertainment NFL news, Josh Allen and Hayley Steinfeld are expecting their first child. Just seen that.
That's why he's been shut this year.
Reckon. And it just and only because this is the only opportunity we get to talk about this stuff, we'll forget it for next season, next week, and Will won't want to talk about it anyway. Todd Bowles dropped 7 F-bombs in his post-game presser last night, apparently, after the Bucks lost a game they absolutely shouldn't have lost against the Falcons. So.
Oh, yeah, they are done. Well, the fact is, it doesn't really change much. It just means you need to win both rather than split them.
Yeah.
You still play the Panthers twice.
Yeah.
One last piece of news.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick basically fired his full staff because they were the problem at UNC this year, not him and his 24-year-old girlfriend.
Recruitment must be really difficult for a team that has already said that one of the 31 teams they have no interest in talking to or allowing to watch them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Especially when it's a basketball school as well. The only thing going for it is they've got good gear because they've got all the Air Jordan stuff. There's ones by Air Jordan rather than, there's like Nike, they just get the Air Jordan stuff, so it's class gear and it's a lovely colour, a light blue as well.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, we'll talk about recruiting in the off season.
Yeah, can't wait.
But other than that, I have been Josh.
Mm-hmm.
That's been Dan, and we'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.